From the Findlay Toyota Studio, it's Cofield and Company.
If McKinnell's going to be taking a shirt off, we're all out.
Non-essential programming. Somebody set up an entire room with an audience of gummy bears listening to an Adele concert. It must have taken hours, and I watched it.
I thought you said they were wonderful and we should all have them. Look at how miserable they're making you now when you're trapped at home.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. Cofield and Company, much to get to. Busy, busy sports afternoon. Again, I think I had like 40 stories that I sent myself last night just from scrolling around the internets, and I think I have like four in today's rundown. Incredible time to talk sports. Obviously, craziness with the coronavirus. We'll have more updates on what's going on when it comes to the Rona. Ari is back in our Findlay Toyota studios. We are, we'll say, on the road. If you want to watch some video clips of the show, we'll have some live streaming video at Steve Cofield on Twitter. Let's do it.
It's time for the three. Presented by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call him today at 577-2600.
All right, Adam, we kick off with, believe it or not, baseball.
What?
Yeah, I know. I have a fantasy baseball draft.
Still?
Yep, this Friday and Saturday. Crazy. And these were the things I worried about. I don't know why we're doing it. Awful news for the Mets. Who cares about fantasy baseball, right? Awful news for Mets fans. My God. Everything is shut down right now, and another one of their pitchers has gone down and gone down hard.
Yeah, isn't that what you're hoping when you're a fan of a team and there's nothing happening? You're like, well, at least nobody can get hurt. Well, but you can still check on injuries and get updates, and the Mets got about as bad news as they possibly could. Tommy John surgery for Noah Syndergaard. That is brutal. And that's a team that, I mean, the franchise just has not a whole lot going on for it. And now the one piece of news is just, oh, by the way, one of the bright spots of your roster, probably gone for 2 years.
Probably. I mean, I saw some jokes, you know, saying, in reaction to he'll be out, you know, until the middle of the 2021 season. So a lot of people are like, oh, good, he'll miss no time. Like, true. When the hell is baseball coming back? When are we going to get clear of this Rona? But this is a freaking serious injury. And it's a guy who's been oft injured repeatedly.
Yeah.
Right? And it's the Mets who seem to have most of their pitchers laid up at any given time. And I can't explain it. Is it the organization? Is it just bad luck? What is it?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like there's something in the organization about the way that they develop pitchers. I mean, how long ago was it where we thought they had five pitchers that were all going to be stars for like the next 15 years? And it was just injury after injury after injury after not panning out. But it was mostly just injury to all of them. It's crazy.
And they have a history going back, you know, 20 years or so, whenever the hell it was, with remember their nickname? Was it Young Guns? I don't know what it was. They had three guys coming up. Bill Pulsifer.
Okay.
Paul Wilson.
Wow.
And Jason Isringhausen. And Isringhausen's the only guy who had a decent length career.
Not as a closer, though.
Yeah, he turned into a closer. Wilson was kind of a reliever eventually, and Pulsifer just never turned out.
He was supposed to be the best one, wasn't he?
And this latest era, I can't even remember who was the most highly touted. They were all awesome in the minor leagues, but this latest era, they can't get out of their own way. And now, if you missed it, Noah Syndergaard, baseball news, down for the season, Tommy John surgery, so he may be down for a year and a half, 2 years, because it does take forever to come back from TJ, and hopefully he's back bigger and better than ever. But we'll have to wait on that one. 5 o'clock hour yesterday, we talked about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
And this dopey tweet he had. Do you have the tweet in front of you? If you can pull it up. He had quoted a Drake lyric, and we said it's probably him expressing his feelings about what happened with Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins being traded. It's now turned into legit rumor mill stuff about this dude being dealt, which now we're getting ridiculous. Well, Bill O'Brien is not going to go crazy as he allegedly did with DeAndre Hopkins, who apparently had too much control of the locker room. He didn't like the culture that Hopkins was setting. Supposedly, according to Michael Irvin, he mentioned, hey, you're starting to go down the path of an Aaron Hernandez. I don't like all your baby mamas being around. This is a whole different thing. Like, it's beyond belief that you would trade a guy for virtually nothing unless David Johnson turns out to be David Johnson again. It's crazy to think that if you had a difference of opinion and you're trying to set a culture that you'd get rid of a guy who's a 105 catch a year guy and 10 touchdown a year guy. This is next level.
Yeah.
This is your freaking franchise. This is your job. You don't have Deshaun Watson. I mean, we all think Bill O'Brien is less than stellar as a head coach.
Bill O'Brien as a GM is worse.
Yeah, you get rid of Deshaun Watson, dude, your run is about another year, maybe two.
The tweet was, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of here clean. Can't even keep track of who plays for the other team. Iconic duos rip and split at the seams. It was a tweet from Emotionless by Drake. That was posted yesterday by Deshaun Watson. And then, as you mentioned, trade rumors kind of start to float around. But I think the counter I would have to that is, because everybody would say there's no way he's trading Deshaun Watson. It doesn't make any sense. Deshaun Watson, and I'm trying to look up the exact contract. I think Deshaun Watson's a free agent after the season. So if there's a feeling that there's no way he's coming back, don't you have to trade him? What are you going to hold on to him for 1 year, get nothing out of it, and then what? And then you're kind of stuck.
I guess it's got to be a conversation behind the scenes.
Unless you think that you have a chance to win a Super Bowl this year, which I don't. But if you think that you have one last chance to make a run, then maybe. But you should be able to get a lot for Deshaun Watson. And then you could start the rebuild.
What can you get for him that is fair value back?
You're not going to get fair value.
No, you're not going to.
But you're going to get more than nothing,
yeah.
Which is what you would get next year.
All right, a lot more on this in the 5 o'clock hour in the Big 5. It's Cofield & Company here on a Tuesday as we kick things off. Some NFL news with Deshaun Watson and his Drake tweet yesterday turning into big news today. I don't believe for 1 second, although Adam just presented a case that makes it, I guess, a possibility, but I don't believe for 1 second Deshaun Watson, even as dopey as Bill O'Brien is going to be moved. Cam Newton. We've had the Cam watch on here for the last 2 weeks. He feels like he got blindsided by the Ted Bridgewater signing. If you want to call him Teddy, you can. I'll call him Ted. There was speculation about, hey, where could he land? Who has an opening? Where could he start? I think we settled yesterday on, I don't know that he's going to start anywhere.
Yeah.
And now the Panthers, I assume, shopped him, could get nothing for him. He's now been released, which I think the handwriting's on the wall here. There's a possibility he doesn't play this year. I don't know that his career is over. But Nick Foles fetched a fourth-round pick. Nick freaking Foles. Cam fetches nothing?
Well, in this case, you didn't want his contract, right? So I think it was okay, we're not going to pay him the deal. We're not going to give up anything. And we know that if nobody gives up anything for Cam Newton, he's going to be released. Anybody can sign him for anything. So I think, it's definitely there's a different scenario there. But I think it does speak a lot that, Cam Newton, former MVP, a guy who was a face of a franchise for several years, he's not exactly, 40. He has had an injury history for sure, and I think there's concern about whether he'll ever be back to 100%, but it does tell you what teams are kind of thinking about Cam Newton right now. But I definitely think if it wasn't for the fact that they're going to release him anyway and nobody wanted to take on that contract, he would have got something. Somebody would have gone out and tried to get him. But now we'll see who really wants him because he's just free and available on the open market.
We talked to a former Panther, former radio guy in Carolina, in Charlotte, Frank Garcia, the other day, and he took us down a path of, listen, Cam's personality is a challenge. He is a brooding baby.
Yeah.
When he doesn't win, he's obviously got an ego, so he was the franchise. There's going to have to be a reset on Cam Newton. Is it a possibility that the rest of the league looks at it, they've heard about him, and they're like, yeah, we don't know that he's ready to sort of swallow his pride and do what it takes to be the kind of leader we want, where he's not coming in as the franchise king. Are people scared of him around the league?
Well, I guess we'll find out now. Because I don't think that not trading for him, there's reasons that you don't trade for him. Like right. I said, the contract, you know that he's going to get cut. There's reasons that would keep you from trading for him. But he's available. He's out there. Does anybody want him?
We listed open spots the other day for quarterbacks. Here's the list from about 4 days ago. Patriots, that's out. Patriots are not bringing anyone in. Are we 100% solid on that? 98%?
No. I think
you still think it's a possibility?
I think it's absolutely a possibility.
Stidham's the guy, as the McCourty said, Jared Stidham, backed up by Brian Hoyer, maybe Kessler, you know, if you're really tanking the last six games. I don't think they're going to be tanking, but maybe Kessler plays. I threw out the Steelers the other day, and you kind of looked at me sideways. Yeah, Big Ben's still on the team. I completely forgot about that, and I was thinking of, Duck Hunter there. So the Steelers, unless he's a backup, don't need Cam Newton.
Well, we also don't know what Ben is. He just missed a full season.
Well, he's bearded.
He's very bearded.
Very thickly bearded.
Looks homeless. social distancing. We know that from his
razor.
Video. Yeah, but distancing from his razor. Sorry to step on that. I think that there's – that's the kind of place where you would say, okay, Roethlisberger's coming back, we think. What is he? How much does he have? And you clearly found out last year that if you don't have him, I mean, you can fight and scrap and claw your way into the mix, but you need to have a backup.
Redskins, Dolphins, Jaguars. Redskins and Dolphins could draft a quarterback. Redskins also have lots of quarterbacks on the roster. The Dolphins have Fitzy. You'd assume they're going young if they can get Tua. Jaguars look like a match for Minshew, but is that the kind of guy you want, Cam Newton, at the head of your franchise if you can just get Andy Dalton as a bridge, or you can actually pay a future quarterback, probably get a real discount on him, in Jameis Winston, and then the not really situations. I think the Chargers should add another veteran quarterback to compete with Ty God. The Broncos should have a veteran backup.
Broncos definitely should.
Behind Drew Lock, and I would have said the Saints, but my God, you'll hear Brady Popinga, who played in the NFL later on. He's a little bit high on Taysom Hill, and I think the Saints are as well. On the way back, we'll get to the latest news on the UFC. Come hell or high water, Dana White is going to hold his fights. Yesterday, 99% sure the fight is going down, the April 18th. Tony Ferguson, Khabib Nurmagomedov, that fight is going down. We just don't know the site yet.
The Three is brought to you by Dustin DeHart at Nova Home Loans. Call today at 577-2600 to receive a $500 coupon towards your appraisal or any purchase or refinance. Dial up Dustin now. 577-2600. Cofield and Company. Cofield and Company.
And if venues are going to start stopping having events, I don't see that happening. I don't know. Hopefully not. We'll see how this whole thing plays out. I don't give a shit about the coronavirus. As far as I'm concerned, we're going to continue to run our business. We have Doc Davidson involved, and we're always looking out for the safety of the fighters, no matter what it is.
Dana White, about 2 weeks ago, before this got really, really, really serious with coronavirus, so I can say it, he said he doesn't give an S about coronavirus. He does now, because he discussed the impossibility at the time that, hey, all venues may be shut down. I don't think he had wrapped his head around the fact that I may not have anywhere to hold my fights. Even my own little arena down off the 215 at the UFC headquarters, the Apex, well, that was shut down about a week ago by the state of Nevada. So he's been working his you-know-whats off to get this UFC pay-per-view, one that has been anticipated repeatedly because the fight has been scheduled and canceled, four previous times between Tony Ferguson and Khabib. Well, Khabib was training in San Jose, right, at AKA?
Yeah.
And has gone back to Russia now.
He has.
All right, fights off. Right, fights off. Then yesterday, Brett Okamoto, your buddy, my buddy from ESPN, reports that Dana White is saying 99% this fight is on, the card is on. Now we need to know where it's at. And I think it's pretty clear, no fans.
It seems that way for now, though, depending on where they go, maybe they'll allow fans. And by the way, for accuracy, Steve, 99.9% that it's on. So there's only that 0.1% that it's not going to be on.
And remember, we did have another case of this You remember Christian Fourier, former NFL player, does radio in Boston, said it was 99.6% solid that Brady was leaving.
And that proved correct.
Yes.
That he left that 0.4 didn't matter.
So you and I have argued about like a tenth or two tenths before. We've had like a 15-minute argument about analytics. We're going to do that now.
It was about two-point conversions.
Yeah, if you go above 99%, then I feel pretty good about it.
Okay. Well,
why is he leaving? Is he even leaving that 0.1?
Well, because I think we were 100% that we were going to have these last three events. Oh. Now we're not having them.
Is that right?
Yes.
I don't remember. Did he say 100%?
I don't know if he exactly said 100%. He said, they will happen. They are happening. Mark it down. They're happening. They okay. didn't happen. So I think he has to leave that little slight chance open. Plus, even it seems to me that he has a place booked. Like he did last week. He had a place booked last week to have the fights with no fans in Oklahoma. And then it just couldn't come together because they couldn't have more than 10 people in a building. And right. so this, I'm convinced they have a place. I'm pretty convinced it's in the Middle East. It's either Dubai or I think it's in the UAE, what I would expect. And so I think that's going to happen. The issue is where I think that you could have that slight chance that it doesn't. Logistically, it's a nightmare. You've got fighters trying to come from all over the world, and you know there's rumors today they're going to shut down the airline industry for 2 weeks. So they're going to have to get, you know, private jets and figure out how to get people around. I heard Daniel Cormier yesterday, you know, former heavyweight champion and light heavyweight champion, discussing a plan where he was like, okay, we've got to get like four pickup spots around the world where everybody just gets together, and then the UFC flies a jet, tests everybody and make sure they're not flying on with somebody that tests positive and just picks up in four different spots. So like a couple fighters in New York, you can meet the fighters from Florida, maybe like in North Carolina, there's a pickup spot there. He was joking about that, but I think logistically it'd be kind of a nightmare to get over there. And I think that's the reason Nurmagomedov went back to Russia to finish his training where he's closer to make it over there, because California is essentially locked down completely. Tony Ferguson's still in California. But he basically runs his gym out of his garage. He doesn't really have to work, you know, being locked in. That'll be a challenge. All of these things are huge challenges, and I think that's what the holdup's going to be. But I'm fairly certain Dana White found a government somewhere mm-hmm. that's going to let him do this if everything can come together. And he also said, because there was speculation, I was like, okay, this is going to be hard logistically. How about you just have the main event? Just have those guys fight.
Nope,
full card. Oh, full pay-per-view card? No. Full prelims, too. Okay.
Wow.
Good luck.
Well, he's got until April 18th to put together the whole thing. Well, technically, I guess he has until about a week before.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Logistically, what a freaking challenge.
Yeah.
I'm sure people will welcome it. I'm curious to see what government is going to say. Let's do it. Ireland will not be that country. Conor McGregor, who is maybe the least disciplined athlete that we have. In 2020, he can't control himself. He decides to lecture all of Ireland. I guess I like the message. I think the messenger is kind of ridiculous, but here's Conor McGregor trying to get Ireland all fired up to lockdown.
And it must begin now. A lockdown together. A lockdown united. We must close our airports. We must close all non-essential business. We must cut all non-essential travel. Commissioner Harris and Vice Admiral Mellett, we must prepare and deploy our units to all and any known built-up areas across our country. Now, President Higgins, you must give these great men and women the power to enforce this task if necessary. However, I know that when the true seriousness of this is understood, as it is becoming now, our great nation will oblige.
Okay, first reaction. I didn't get to read the thread on this one, but it's been pretty consistent. When anyone's super rich is lecturing everyone on locking down and doing what is right, there's generally 50% of the folks posting who are like, you're rich, you have money, I'm poor, shut the blank up.
Right.
What do you think of McGregor being the messenger?
First of all, on
a couple of different fronts. He's rich as hell, but he's immensely popular in Ireland, and he's really passionate about this.
Strong message. That's for sure. I mean, he came out strong with it. My first reaction is, can we elect him? Can he run our country? That'd be great. Very forceful. But I think here's the difference, and this hasn't been talked about a whole lot, and nobody's been able to speak to McGregor directly to kind of flesh this out, but he posted on Instagram about a week ago that his aunt died from coronavirus. And so you can tell why he's passionate about this. And if you want to come at him and like, oh, it's not a big deal, shut up, what are you talking about? I think he can fire back with, yeah, it killed my aunt, jerk. Like, this is real to me. It's a serious issue. So I think you can kind of hear the passion that he's bringing here, and you understand why, because it's personally affected him. If these are the kind of messages that we need, I mean, it's probably better than the Imagine video in terms of like message out.
No, it's a lot better because that had no message, and it was just that annoying and poorly done. Here's more Conor McGregor trying to get Ireland all fired up, and he makes the point that Ireland hasn't really been hit by this yet. I think last check, Ireland had about 1,300 cases, and I think total deaths were below 20. He talks about other countries where it's worked and that Ireland has a head start. So let's do it now. Let's lock it down. Conor McGregor, UFC star.
We are not adhering to social distancing, at least not to the extent required to halt exponential growth. A lockdown will facilitate this. It will reduce transmissions, it will take the pressure off of our frontline staff, and it will allow us to identify all of our cases. These methods are stringent but necessary and have worked in China and Hong Kong. Ireland, we have got this. Not only do we have the formula, we have it ahead of time. Let's go, Ireland. Let's go, rest of the world. Lockdown, united, together we stand. God bless us all.
If you just think about this video and what we're going through, could you have ever imagined anything like this coming from Conor McGregor?
No, definitely not. But I also contrast it to Dana White talking just before that about, we're doing our fight. Like, what does Conor think of that?
I assume McGregor has pulled his offer of filling in for Tony or Khabib if they back out.
I think so. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
He's not an option.
I think that's off the table. It's pretty amazing, though, how strong this message is. And I don't know if he's working with the government in Ireland or if they asked him to do this. It seems like some pretty high level of sophistication in the writing there that came from some authorities.
It was good delivery.
It definitely was. And if they were sitting around saying, hey, who's our best spokesman? Who can deliver this message in a way that people will get it, will listen to it, will spread quickly? Because, you know, that's how you want the messages to get out there and go viral. If this was the Irish government coming to him and saying, hey, can you do this? Good for them. If it's him doing it on his own, even better. I don't know. I wonder if they were like, hey, you're in some trouble? How about this? Do this for us. There's a lot of pending cases out there.
We talked about some important, noteworthy sports news coming out. Conor McGregor, UFC, Cam Newton, Deshaun Watson. But I'll be honest with you, we probably should have started off the show with Tiger King. Dan Le Batard did it this morning and just went crazy. I've watched some of it. We're not going to spoil it for you, but my God, this Netflix show is going to be the rage for about three more days because this is where we are now. Everyone's binging like crazy, so they're just blowing through this thing. This thing is amazing. This Tiger King and these people around the country were right under our freaking noses.
ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Raiders on three. 1, 2, 3.
Raiders.
Home of the Raiders fan. Now, back to Cofield and Company.
Well, everything was fine, just as sweet as wine, but her husband went and disappeared. Got a little crazy, got a little hazy, and the cops said there's something wrong here. Oh, here, kitty, kitty. Oh, mama's got some treats for you. Oh, here, kitty, kitty.
So
you can't
awesome.
Find this taste in the
Crank
zoo.
It up.
I
don't even know where to start.
It's one of the greatest music videos ever made because of the message.
The fact that it's been out for like 5 years and somehow we missed it. Again, I don't know where to start. This is a national phenomenon. If you've not watched it, we're not going to ruin it for you. We're not even really going to break down that song because if we do, that'll derail you.
Yeah.
It'll be a spoiler. Tiger King is the documentary. It's 7 parts. It took everything I had last night to not blow through all 7. I'm trying to be respectful to the SO.
That was going to be my question. I planned 2 nights ago. What was it? I don't even know what today is. Sunday night, I sat down at 2 a.m. and I was like, you know what? Everybody's talking about this. I have no idea what it's about at all. I don't know any of the premise. I'm just going to sit down and watch the first 2 episodes. There's 7 episodes. They're about 55 minutes long. I was like, all right, I'll knock out an episode and a half, or I'll knock out 2 episodes. It's about an hour and a half, and then go to bed around 3:34 or whatever. No problem. I got to the end of episode 2, and I was like, okay, I'm in. There's no chance I'm going to bed. I am watching the rest of this thing, and I got through the entire thing. It's the most disturbing, greatest. It's an unbelievable story, and you're right. The crazy part is it happened, you know, it was over the last 10 years, but a lot of this stuff was like 2 years ago. I had no idea that it was going on. But I also had no idea there were so many of these people in the country.
Yep. And actually, a lot of the stories in this documentary made mostly local and some national news, but you didn't put it all together until this documentary. And it's done so well because they set you up and then they change, you know, they make a severe turn where you're like, wait, I thought that was the good person and these are the evil people. It's freaking brilliant. I've only watched 3 episodes. I'll bang it out tonight. We're going to give you the warning right now. We're going to talk about this on Wednesday or Thursday, probably Thursday.
Every day.
Thursday, finish it by Thursday. Yeah. So here's the basic premise. There's a bunch of people around the country, a decent number of people around the country, who are into big cats, tigers and lions, and have like these rogue zoos. And in many cases, they allow people to come in. Which, when you watch the video and then you actually hear these people behind the scenes speak, you're like, how have dozens of kids and stupid adults not been mauled by animals? Because none of these people are qualified to run a freaking zoo or an attraction. They're all nuts. They're all fornicating like hell. And I've seen some rankings early on here. Yesterday, you and Stormy were talking about the show, and you guys blurted out that Carol, who's one of the people on the show, is the worst.
The worst human being on the planet.
Let me give you this ranking on Twitter. You ready?
Yeah.
Worst people in Tiger King ranked. Jeff Lowe, Doc Antle, James the strip club owner, Joe Exotic, who is really like the focus of the show and is set up as the villain from the... Mario the Lord, Alan the Handyman, Carol and Carol's husband are 7 and 8.
As they're saying they're not as bad as the rest of them? Get out of here. Get out. That's insane. First of all, for those that have watched it, the only redeeming characters in this entire thing are the employees of Joe. Like, Joe's employees seem like wayward people that are good at heart. And he kind of exploited them.
There's so much I want to comment on and give away. There's a scene where they're getting some secondhand food, and Joe Exotic's people are very thankful for the secondhand food. I got such a kick out of it because much of it is spoiled and past the expiration date. I'm like, that's me.
Wait, did you get to the pizza?
Not yet.
Okay. I won't mention that.
Did you get to the pizza? Okay, that's a good tease for
You're not going to like that?
Did you get to the pizza?
What I'm trying to be is as possible with questions that I'm asking.
And by the way, this ranking, good question. Again, Jeff Lowe, Doc Antle, these are the worst from 1 on down. James, the strip club owner, Joe Exotic, Mario, the drug lord, handyman, Carol, and Carol's husband, current husband or other husband?
We didn't really meet. I found this description today of Joe Exotic.
Okay.
And I was like, it's a very succinct, but this will tell you a lot of what you need to know before you go into this. The star of the show is the man known as Joe Exotic. He's just your average openly gay, gun-toting, drug-using, big cat-loving polygamous zookeeper who ran for president.
Okay. That's a good point. Yes. That's where we saw Joe Exotic before. Wasn't he on Oliver? Oliver's show?
They showed on the showed on the documentary.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about
it. I knew that name there somewhere.
I was in a group text with Stormy earlier today, and we were ranting about this course, and like four of the people in it were like, "We just started. Stop. Like, stop giving away so many spoilers."
You got until Thursday.
And I said, my response was, I could tell you 100 things that happened in this.
Yep.
I'm not even spoiling it.
Yeah.
There's so many things
by giving rankings, it doesn't mean anything because everyone else's rankings are going to be different.
Yeah, Carol's the worst in mine.
I mean, you got Carol's the worst. And as I was watching, I had forgotten what you said. And then watching, and then I'm like, well, right now, it doesn't look good. But every episode changes.
And I told you, I think you said, you texted me last night that you were at the beginning of episode two, and you're like, wow, this is incredible. And I was like, yeah, wait till the end of episode two.
Yeah.
Because the very end of episode two, just out of nowhere,
yeah,
they spring some Carol news on you.
Total plot change.
Yeah, they spring some Carol news on you.
Don't spoil it.
I'm not
spoiling it.
No,
yes, and
I'm like, wait a minute. What is going on? This is insane. And the one thing I'll say about these rankings, Jeff might be. I was only including kind of the main people. He becomes a main person.
Okay.
I think Jeff might be the
worst. Don't spoil it. By the way, for everyone who was whining for about 5 days about the Bulls documentary and that ESPN was screwing everyone by not releasing it early, I don't care if they ever release it.
Not when I got Tiger King. I might watch it again. I'm going to watch it again. This
is
great.
I got Tiger King. I'm good.
But I will. I think I will run out of stuff soon.
No, you won't. No. You've barely scratched the surface on Netflix and Hulu. You've watched no TV the last 5 years.
That's true.
I bring up shows all the time, and you're like, what? Huh? I've no time. I'm working. Not anymore.
I'm working more now. But last night.
Well, you're not wasting as much time driving around and
exactly
hobnobbing with all your friends.
And I'll say it's really impacting productivity to not have Starbucks open. But I can't write at home. And to not have a Starbucks to go sit at and write, it's killing me. But
can't you just hole up somewhere in your halfway house there and where it's quiet?
Because I know the dogs are there. It's not that it's not quiet.
Don't they go outside?
Yeah, sometimes. But
put them out.
If you work, then they're going to want to be around.
Put them out.
Yeah, they don't really like to be outside.
I can tell you, our pets are not reacting well at all to a certain person being home all the time.
You?
No, I'm here all the time.
Okay, yeah,
they're fine with me.
Yeah. So?
They're just, I don't know, they're all screwed up.
It's confusing for them, I feel like.
It is kind of weird, isn't it? Animals. Like we all assume that they're not great thinkers, but they are.
Oh, they're definitely thinkers. And at the end of this, they're going to be very confused. Like, wait, what? Why is everybody gone now? I thought this was a new thing, that everybody was around.
Is it fair to make small cats watch this big cat documentary?
They might be a little bit. They might like it. It's so good that they might enjoy it.
They might process it.
Can I also? I'll also tell you that I took the dogs to the dog park last night.
Oh.
And
how crowded was it?
There's a chain on it. It says dog parks are closed.
Oh, no.
And so we got out of the car. We started walking up. I was like, oh, you guys have the park to yourself. And then I was like, oh, man, we got to get back in the car. We got to go find a field to walk around in. And I was trying to tell them. I was like, you guys, with coronavirus, you know, it's probably a good idea. And they're not. They don't know.
They're not processing that yet.
They don't understand social distancing and things like that.
We got to choose your four. Up to
four.
Right? Choice A. Four. I thought this was a pretty good list. I enjoyed this. Although, what I didn't enjoy was you stumping for people to vote for one of the choices.
I've done it. Last time.
No undue influence, please.
It didn't work last time, so I was seeing if I had any influence now.
Yeah, your choose your fate at four stories include UNLV has a new quarterback coach. UNLV's Kush Challenge.
Okay.
National Cheesesteak Day. Versus Team King at Steve Cofield at ESPN Las Vegas. It's pretty cool. A few votes here or there could change what we talk about at 4 o'clock. Up next, we'll do our good times with Mr. Sunshine, instructed by the station. You know what, guys? We need at least 10 minutes of happy talk and really nice stories. Adam has an uplifting story. If you're one of those people out there who would not be thinking about it, people hanging out at your local park and you're taking pictures of them and, you know, kids and posting them up on the internet. You're very happy to hear the story good coming from Adam Hill.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
What's terrible about it is it's made us all equal in many ways. And what's wonderful about it is that it's made us all equal in many ways.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, that was so good we had to play it twice. We played a little Madonna sitting in her zillion-dollar tub with her, I'm sure, my kitchen that I've been touting during commercials costs less than her freaking faucet that she's got.
It's a nice faucet.
She's a clown. I don't even know what she was. She's like, it's awful.
I thought she was being helpful.
That we're all, now we're all the same. But it's also great. And then she thought about it. She's like, no, it's not. With the scoff at the end, she's like, okay.
We're all the same that we're stuck at home. We're not stuck in the same homes without the same things.
I assume that she had some poor human being playing the piano in the background. Or is that a auto player piano?
It's a rotation of four that play 24 hours a day.
Is that right?
Yeah. But they're allowed to sleep in, like, the cabinet.
They actually sleep underneath the piano bench.
Yeah.
So there's no social distancing for Madonna's piano players.
No, not at all. That's how she lives.
What a freaking weirdo.
She's in the same quarantine we are.
Another one of the... dozens, if not hundreds, of celebrities who have posted and been greeted by, go away, you're rich, you have no similarities to me at all as I'm quarantined, potentially out of work. We're lucky. We're still doing the show. That's a good thing. Many of you are out of work, and we don't need celebrities talking about how we're all the same now, because we're not. You folks are fine. You've got plenty stashed away, and when you come back, you can make even more. So, locally, we've got a change. I'm not going to say it's in reaction to what New York Governor Cuomo was saying yesterday, but he did talk about pickup basketball and
social
said
distancing.
You can't social distance, play 6 feet off your man, and play decent defense. You can't play pickup basketball and do what we're asking you to do. Did North Las Vegas hear that, see the videos of lots of hoopsters in SoCal playing in parks, and decide to make a drastic change? What a heartbreaker.
It looks like it. One of our reporters over at the RJ, Jeff Mosier, actually works on the desk.
Let me hold on. This is a great story. Actually, these are happy times. Because we did have people trying to snitch on people at parks. So this will make you happy now.
I don't know if
this will lock it down. Now you'll be happy. These are good time stories.
If this is a good time story, you might want to save it. Might not want to talk about it. Jeff was on a walk in Deer Springs Park. He saw City of North Las Vegas workers removing the rims from the basketball courts where the kids had been playing just minutes earlier. He went and asked if they were doing it at all the parks, and they said all North Las Vegas parks will have their rims and tennis nets removed to prohibit people from playing.
The tennis nets, too.
Yeah. But I feel like tennis, it's social distance.
I mean, how often are you really close?
Unless you approach the net at the same time.
Right.
I feel like you can do some social distancing. Just like we said with basketball, you can play James Harden defense in social distance. But apparently this is not a good idea.
North Las Vegas not buying it.
No. They're just taking the rims down. Hopefully they put them up as soon as everything is back to somewhat normal.
Will we get that around the city of Las Vegas and also the rest of Clark County?
Rims coming down?
You think the rims come down?
Probably.
God. Sunset Park? 15 courts there?
Yeah.
Nothing? No rims? No nets? Nothing?
I think there's, what, there's
get in
five,
your,
five
get
full
in,
courts? Maybe
get,
more?
Get in your basketball now while you can.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. Well,
actually, that's a terrible message.
If I'm right here, we can shoot around.
I do. Actually, I'm going to take the rim down. You were trying to shoot in my backyard yesterday. You scared the hell out of me because you just went off the glass.
Yeah, it was a
and,
bad shot.
Yeah, it wasn't a good shot. So tomorrow, rim may be down.
Small ball.
So I'm afraid of your friends. Who was it, about 4 years came over. We're hanging out in the pool, and they're trying to dunk and tear. Come on, bro.
Is it the same rim?
No, totally different. This one, actually, this one would be, that was like a plastic rim. We upgraded with more of a real backboard and rim. But I could also see someone trying to dunk and taking the whole thing down, and I don't know that that would ever come out of the pool. It's pretty heavy.
Is it full of sand?
It's full of water.
Hmm.
But I haven't checked it in a while, so it could tip over at any moment.
I feel like we could lift that out if we had to. Lift it out of the pool.
Let's not try.
Okay.
How about that?
All right. Fair enough.
Speaking of hoops, did we have a reversal? with, we're not talking competitive eating, with the Sixers. No. The Sixers were getting blasted for about a day when news came out about what? They were going to cut pay?
Yeah, Sixers and Devils, by the way, same ownership. So there was a announcement from owner Josh Harris that all employee salaries would be 20% during this stoppage in work. And they said the move was to eliminate any layoffs or downsizing, to say instead of getting rid of people, we're just going to cut people's salary by 20%. There was a Twitter backlash. People were furious about this, and it seems to have worked. Josh Harris' statement that said, "Our commitment has been to do our best to keep all of our employees working through this very difficult situation. After listening to our staff and players, it's clear that was the wrong decision. We have reversed it, and we will be paying those employees their full salaries. This is an extraordinary time in our world, unlike any most of us have ever lived through. And ordinary business decisions are not enough to meet the moment. To our staff and fans, I apologize for getting this wrong." Joel Embiid, one of the star players of the Sixers, said, "In these trying times, I'm proud of the Sixers organization for reversing course and doing a 180. Let's focus on beating this coronavirus now. Let's be responsible and trust the process." So players supportive of this decision. I know the Twitterverse is supportive too, because they were outraged about this announcement from the Sixers and Devils. And this is kind of, you know, the online community working together to make change, I guess. It's good. It's fair. Good time story.
It is a good time story.
Yeah. Everybody working together to get everybody their full salary.
I knew that this portion of the show, Good Times with Mr. Sunshine, where we do nice stories, would be difficult. We've both bought in so far. Neither one of us has cracked. It's basically a test every day to see when we crack. I'm going to run these by you as examples of they're good stories or not. First of all, we just spent 10 minutes talking about Tiger King, so I have to put some more Tiger King in
here.
That's
a good story.
That is a good story. That actually, we should have just taken Tiger King for 12 minutes into more Tiger King for good times. We're telling you, we're giving you a show that you can binge over the course of 2 or 3 days, and you're going to be over the moon. You're going to be so happy. One of our buddies, Ryan Green, at least my buddy, he said, "I finished Tiger King about 10 hours ago, still wrapping my head around it. Craziest documentary I've seen on Netflix by miles."
That's a pretty good summation. It's accurate.
That's a good story, right?
It's incredible. Yeah.
Headline from the LA Times. Bunker with a bowling alley, how the rich are running from coronavirus. I think this is a nice story. The rich are going to be fine in this whole thing. Bunkers with bowling alleys. That's a nice story.
I don't think this is going to go over well.
Subhead, hand sanitizer? Sure. Face masks? Fine. But as the coronavirus spreads, the rich are investing in a much more extreme way to ward off the disease. Bunkers.
Continue the Cofield and Company conversation on Facebook. Friend us at ESPN Las Vegas.